Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joined by our co-hosts for the day and take a look at leadership. We are just coming off of a national election, and it was an opportunity to teach our children how to exercise their civic responsibility and to be responsible in selecting leadership that works for their interests, and to understand how our nation works. This is also an opportunity for us to change some of the people that we have entrusted with leadership positions if they did not carry them out to our liking. So empowerment is an understanding that our children must have if they are going to be the leaders in the future. And that means us teaching them that they are not helpless victims. They are not people who don't have the power to create new systems that work, if the ones that they're currently experiencing are not working. They are people who have the power to design the society the way they believe it should be and change it from the way it is. They have the power. So how do we teach our children leadership? And what are some of the attitudes we need to unlearn when it comes to our beliefs about ourselves? Are we still approaching life with a victim mentality and still making our children feel disempowered because we are speaking from the point of view of a victim who is wounded and helpless, as opposed to powerful people who can make choices and make a difference? It's our responsibility to define how they see themselves. And when we give them the right definition, then they feel empowered. They feel capable. And they will create. Many have been following this process for the last several months, and being able to see what manifests when you make an effort. Those who have chosen to run for leadership positions have understood the work involved in convincing people of your skills, your abilities, your intentions. And we've also seen that at the core, every human being really wants the same things. And we needn't be narrow in our definition of who we are and what we represent. We represent an enlightened humanity, and our intention is to create the world we wish to see. So we are going to bring in our co-host in just one moment, and we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891, and we also invite you to join us live on Facebook. If you are a visual person, you can join us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Or on YouTube at www.youtube.com/thefemalesolution. And we will be right back, so stay with us. And you may also write in your comments on our Facebook page or our Blog Talk channel. Write in your comments and give us your thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Welcome, Salam. Yes, we are back with our co-host this great Wednesday morning. And we thank all of you on the American Muslim 360 radio broadcast channel for joining us today. We appreciate your presence. This is such a great opportunity. This was the day after the national elections, of course, many of us were involved with candidates in our local areas and up close got a chance to participate in the democratic process, as they say. But today we want to take a look at how do we prepare our children for leadership. And I think that so much of our teaching, because of our experience in our generation, has been kind of in the victim mode and the fear-based mode. And I think it's time for us to evolve out of that. We had a lot of young people who influenced the election process either by running for office or organizing voters or simply stating their case in terms of their beliefs and things that need to change. And so we want them to feel empowered. One of the things I and my team have been working on is the presentation of a new parenting class called Parenting with Peace. And it is designed to empower young people to create a different kind of a society, not to conform to what is, but to be able to create structures that actually serve our interests. And this means they have to have a different way that they see themselves, and they have to recognize the power that they have to create. If something isn't working for you, don't keep doing it. Do something else and organize something else and work with those who understand the power of cooperation. So in some places we've seen where the right mindset can create a movement where people can select leaders that they trust and believe are working in their best interest. In some places, we see that people become so discouraged that they don't participate in the election process. They complain and complain and complain, but still they don't feel the power that's in their hands and they don't exercise it. And then we've seen other situations where people have actually had such an impact that those that were formerly their opposition came over to their side and began to support their aims and goals. But the way we see each other and the way we see the world has to change, and it can only change when we change our narrative, our point of view about who we are and where we're going. And so I want to take a look at some of the points that we'll be addressing even in our Parenting with Peace class and redefining who we are as part of humanity and how do we empower the next generation to think independently. That's what's going to be necessary, is for them to see themselves as creators of a new society and not merely reacting to what is, angry about what is, but really having the tools to organize and create. So we look forward to this discussion. And for those who want to participate and share ideas, we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will come right to you and get your comments. Working on a little bit of a technical issue with our Facebook and YouTube pages, but they'll be up in a moment. So for those who want to join us visually, stay tuned. We're coming to you live on Facebook and YouTube in just one moment. And as always, we appreciate our American Muslim 360 family. Call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 when you're ready for the host to acknowledge your comments. So, Kareem, what were some of the outcomes of some of the situations there in St. Louis? St. Louis is kind of like our southern northern city. I mean, it's in the north, but there's so many overtones that are kind of
Southern in a lot of ways, you know, some of the, you know, the racial issues that emerged there and in Chicago. But what are some of the things that emerged out of this election season there in St. Louis?
You know, it's funny how you identify this region, kind of a southern southern region. At one time, that was a distinction. You know, when we mentioned the South, we what would come across our mind is racial inequality, being held back from opportunity, and all of the things that come with that, Jim Crowism. Well, come to find out, the South is from New York to the tip of Florida.
Wow.
Yes. It's Boston. It's Philadelphia. We find what we was identifying as a Southern way of thinking. It has always been permeated across the whole country, you know, and St. Louis is not immune to that. This is one of the most segregated cities in the country. It is. This is one of the most segregated cities in the country. We have people in political office now. Our mayor is an African American progressive female, to Charlotte Jones. Our district attorney is an African American, Kim Gartner. The county executive is an African American young man. His last name is Page. The small township that I live in, it has an African American mayor and the city council. These are positions, and we are grateful to have people that look like us in those positions. But that does not change the material reality. That does not change the material reality because we hold office. We must put a lot of focus on the allocation of funds. The allocation of funds. We know that so-called North St. Louis is somewhat deprived of the funds that's allocated in the whole city of St. Louis. Things that are not funded, services that are underserved. So it's not just the color of the skin, it's the mentality of the mind and knowing how to strategically, surgically go at inequality. There is an economic council. You know there are people that plan for this city. There are the developers that have their money on the line, and they hold a lot of sway in political circles. So until we're able to strategically pinpoint where the power really lies, then we will continue to languish under what we describe as a desegregated city, a city that's not fair in the allocation of resources, the development, you name it. So elections are important, but that should not be the end all. You know, you elected someone, but in their political planning, we need to hear from them, what is their plan to bring more resources to the underdeveloped areas of any city? What is your plan, you know? So as I stated here, the South is from the border of Canada all the way to the tip of Florida. So then I heard a good friend of mine say yesterday, say, you know, I was shocked. She said, I was shocked to know that it was that many people that are still locked into the old value systems, the old Jim Crow value systems in this country. You know, and that's a reality. But my thing is how you feel about me. Let's put those dollars where they're needed. Let's develop the areas equally. Let's divide the resources equally. Let's put those in place that will make sure that those funds reach the deprived, depressed areas. You know, you hear them there. The main language is used now. The concern is the middle class, meeting the middle class need. Well, there is no longer a middle class. The middle class has been eradicated, especially with its explosion in inflation. It has reduced the economic wealth and buying power of citizens in this country. So either you're rich or you're poor. But we never hear them address, speak of, let's tend to the needs of the poor. The poor, a ship rises from its bottom up. You know, so let us not be dissuaded by these labels, the middle class, the semi-middle class, and all of that. We're all one class, and that is the human class, and how will we treat each other fair and equitably? So I'm pointing once more, follow the money. Follow the money, regardless to who is holding office. And I'm very much comforted by no matter what the results of the election is, as a believer, I know God is in charge at all times. I'll stop right there.
Well, I thank you for those words, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of us in various cities, like you say, you know, you have people who are wearing bodies that have the same kind of color to them, but that's not necessarily changing the overall condition or the distribution of resources. And that's what we have to begin to transform. There should be, as an objective, the ending of a poor class, not ignoring the poor or blaming the poor, but ensuring that there is no creation of a poor class that actually serves to benefit all the other classes. I look at a lot of the systems, even in the housing market, and a good friend of ours who was not a tax consultant, he actually was an investment consultant. And he spoke about how the system is designed by the housing market to expect a certain number of foreclosures, and that's all built into the financial system. Foreclosures bring revenue to a number of people, whether it's board-up services and other legal services. So they build into the whole financial system some homeowners not to be able to maintain the homes based on the loans that they get that they really financially cannot afford to pay over extended periods of time. And it's projected that eventually they will default on their mortgage, lose their home, be evicted, go through the whole court system of losing the house, and then the bank gets to sell the house all over again. And when he was teaching people this,
government officials, well, actually business officials, you know, wanted to pretty much run him out of town because he was messing up their revenue system, which includes people ultimately losing their homes and becoming homeless while the banks resold their house and made even greater profits off of their poverty and their economic struggle. And there's so many systems like this across the country where the intention is for people to not have, because that enriches someone else. It's like we know that the prison system has become such a lucrative business, and with all the contracts that come through that business, there is not the intention to empower people while they're there to have skills and education so they can get out and be different citizens. It's just to profit from them. And when the intentions of the leadership changes, then the outcome will change. So changing the color doesn't do anything unless we change the overall intention that the government has had in exploiting people. And those who get in office, if they have the right ethics, they'll see this, and they'll see that they cannot go along with it and perpetuate it and be honest to the people who elected them, believing that they were going to make a change. So that means a radical shift in our thinking and being able to say, this particular system is wrong. How can we create something better? Because this is not intended to help people, and we need to create a system that is, which means we need to have the audacity to believe that we can change the world from the way it is to the way it should be, and then be about the process of doing that. So what kind of skills do our children need to be able to think on that level of leadership and creating something different other than what is and simply conforming to what is so that they can fit in? How do we empower them? We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. You know, what would our school system look like if we were really preparing our children for leadership in a powerful way so that they independently and creatively and see themselves running governments and even creating government systems, creating financial systems, and eliminating things like poverty and crime and all of those things that have become profitable businesses in the way America works today. So we'll be right back after this quick break. We want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We will be back after these brief messages, and we want you to stay with us. Call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, or 515-605-9891, and unmuted. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll be right back. So stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Unmuted.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Josie. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we are joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and the American Muslim 360 family on the other line. And we are talking about how to prepare our children for leadership coming off of this election. We see that the power of our vote can put people in position, but if they don't have a different mindset, one where they are actually able to think outside the box, so to speak, and envision creating a world better than what we have today, then we merely have people with a face, but it's the same situation. So vision is critical for leadership. We know that the systems that we have do not work, and we know that the poverty is so overwhelming. And every city, Chicago, St. Louis, New York, Atlanta, all cities have such a crippling poor class that it creates the condition of crime. People who feel deprived because they feel that no one cares about them, so they learn not to care about others, and they survive the best way they can, which often is violently. And if we're going to change that, it takes more than marching and protesting. It takes some creation of different systems of being, which means you got to have more than a particular color skin or hair texture. You have to have a different mind. And this is where we begin the process of creation, teaching children to envision the world in the way they want it to be so they can think in terms of, how will I create something different when I am the head of the city, when I am the head of the state, when I am the head of the nation, or when I'm just president of my block club? What can I do differently so that the problems that we have no longer exist? That's the mindset that we want to create in this upcoming generation. So, Brother Kareem, we've got some callers on our line, and if you've got some callers on the AM 360 line, we'll certainly be glad to open their microphones and get their thoughts.
I see no one on this line yet, but I invite those of you that are on the AM 360 studio board, press one on your phone and share your reflections on the subject matter that Naima has presented this morning. A wonderful subject matter. Very important.
Right. Yeah, so let me go to, I'm going to take you all in this order, 425-520, then 314-677, and anyone else that's on our switchboard, if they've got a comment regarding how do we prepare our children for leadership, we invite you to press 1. So let me go to 425-520. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. We are now live on our Facebook and YouTube channel, The Female Solution. So give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
L.A., Central Florida.
Hey, L.A.
One of the, I've been noticing, hey, how you doing, Kareem? One of the trends that I've been noticing, and I'm using it as a barometer as far as black folk in the United States are concerned, is I know of about 3 or 4 groups of black folk. They're not very big in number, but they're either planning to buy land to start their own town so they can have their own political system, including judicial system, law enforcement, the whole nine yards, or they've already purchased land and they're in the process of creating new townships, in some cases municipalities. I know of one group, they live in Philadelphia, But they bought 110 acres of land to start their own community in Georgia. And then I know of another group started by two black women that they talked to some friends, and they got 19 families to put up money. So they bought 97 acres of land with that. And now they're up to 502 acres of land. But they're planning to have their own municipality. They want their own police force to help. So I would call that out-of-the-box thinking. They're not trying to change a larger city like Atlanta or anything like that. They just say, you know what, let's start from scratch and build up and create our own thing. So that's I've been tracking that for about 5 or 6 years now.
Now, that really should give us some inspiration. What have you observed in terms of their structures for leadership and their decision-making process? Is it like more of a that maybe they meet as a council? They have a collective discussion, or you know, some type of mutual consultation system where everybody has a voice. How do they go about selecting who they trust for leadership? You know, what have you observed in terms of their organizing and leadership selection style that apparently is working?
Well, with one of them. It's I'm interviewing one group of them tomorrow, but what I've noticed is with the group that was started by two ladies, it started off with, you know, look, I'll talk to 10 of my friends, you talk to 10 of my friends. They did that and came up with 19 families. So,
wow.
And then they bought 97 acres of land. Now, from my understanding, each one of those 19 families has at least 2 acres of land out of the original 97 acres of land. I also know that they have Zoom calls, if not every day, practically every day. And when you're communicating that much, in my opinion, you're preventing a lot of problems, or you're solving a lot of problems that might pop up quickly. So that's all I've been able to pick up so far. But I don't know if they have more than 19 families now, because like I say, the original 19 had, they purchased 97 acres of land about maybe an hour and a half away from Atlanta, Georgia. Because like in Atlanta, the political system, you've got to have, I mean, deep, deep pockets, the bankroll system. Whereas for a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the price, they say, you know what, we're going to start fresh. And that's how they got that 97 acres of land to start. Like I said, it's now the 502. So that's all I've been able to pick up. I'll learn more from them tomorrow, but it just seemed, you know, basically simple. I think there's maybe two or three people that, two or three founders of the town. I mean, well, it's called the Freedom Georgia, the Freedom Georgia Initiative. And they have a YouTube channel called Freedom Georgia. But it seems like the main thing is they communicate, if not daily, as a collective, on a daily basis. And as far as, you know, who owns what, the original 19 families is like 2 acres each, which I imagine they can do anything they want with it. But their goal is to become a municipality where, you know, they have their own legal system, a law enforcement system. But it seems right now everybody knows everybody. I mean, they've had campouts and tents on the land and everything else. So I'll find out more tomorrow. But you know, if you look them up online, they're pretty advanced. I mean, they're the most advanced I've run across. But there are other groups that are in various stages. Some haven't bought any land yet. But like I said, I've run across three that have, and that's just one of the three. So I'm pretty sure there are more out there. But that's like I say, that's the trend they're looking at. And they were motivated by, you know, the events that we've all heard over the last 2 years, George Floyd, Trayvon Martin. They, you know, they say, you know what, instead of trying to change the system, in a larger established city where, you know, like, so you got to have deep pockets to bankroll the system and all that, they just say, you know, let's just start fresh. So, anyway, I'll land my plane there.
Well, thank you so much, L.A. And before you go, and before we take the next caller, tell us when your show comes on so we can listen in and how we listen in.
It's My House, which is on Monday through Friday, knocking at 9 years next month.
Wow.
10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 619-768-2945. Now, today we're sort of like playing just pre-recorded stuff, but tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 Central, we will be interviewing, and anybody can call in and ask all the questions they want for as long as they stay on. Typically, we might go on for 2 hours for the Freedom Georgia Initiative. We'll have that's I guess tomorrow morning. So I've been doing it for 8 consecutive years. If you've never heard It's My House before, tomorrow's the one to listen to. If you ever want to get ahead of the system, they're going to be talking about how you can start your own system.
Mm. And give us that call-in number again.
619-768-2945. And like it was started by, talk about the female solution, it was started by basically two black females that, they're best friends, I believe, and they just came up with an idea. You know what? They ran across a piece of land and said, well, you talk to 10 friends and I talk to 10 friends, and that's how it all got started.
Mm. And, you know, that's really all it takes is to organize the people you know, like, and trust, because you do have to trust them, you know, when you're combining your financial resources. And I think that is one of the key components to even preparing our children for leadership, is to help them know how to organize the people of like mind, because you have to be able to come up with ways that you can create together, which means you have to trust each other and communicate. That's It's My House, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 619-768-2945. Is that correct? That's the correct number?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, we...
So, Naima, you're invited to come over tomorrow morning if you want to co-host, and you can, like I say, it's...
Oh, I'd
anybody
to,
can
I'd
call
love.
In and then ask questions, because I just don't want L.A. questions. I want different people, different points of view, because, like I say, these two ladies went from an idea. I don't know if they had any money to put up, but they went from an idea to 97 acres to 502. They might have more than that now, but that's the last count I got.
Wow. Well, you know, that's definitely the kind of people I want to talk to. I will definitely be calling in. I'll keep that in mind. It's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and It's My House on Blog Talk. Is it Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio, yeah.
Yes. So go to It's My House on Blog Talk Radio. Call in
768-2945.
And that's 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, we'll be there for sure. Looking forward to an invigorating conversation with some innovative people that are unafraid to be pioneers. Let me take another caller before we take a break. Oh, go ahead, Kareem. Go ahead.
Yes, you know, that's not afraid to be innovative and pioneers. We know in the early part of the settlement of what was called the West, in the early days of these United States, of this country, its towns and cities, they had so much land that they would grant land to individuals, and even poor individuals. They were given what was called homesteads. A homestead was a piece of land where you could have a house or a building. Sometimes the homestead would be so big you would have more than a house. It was expected that they would farm on that land because the government wanted food produced. That would be a requirement that they use the land also for farming, called a homestead. Now, let me, I remember there's a period they called the land rush, the land rush. After this government had subdued the indigenous people in this country, they opened up those lands and they was urging people to go west. And the government gave away land to individuals. If you go to stake your claim, that would be your land.
Yeah.
But you were expected to make the land productive. But we have to now, many of us were left from out of that. The African Americans were left from out of that. But at this time, we have to change our mindset. At this point, we need to bring to our attention, because we've been somewhat lured into being pampered, made to expect that we don't have to do anything, that the government or somebody is going to take care of us and do everything for us. We are just here to enjoy life, have fun, eat, sleep, have sex, and die just like the common animal. We have to have a sense of ownership. The public places in this country belong to us too. We are owners, and we have to take on that sense of responsibility. You know, for our the areas that we live in, not just expect the government or someone to come in and provide all of our needs and save us. No, that responsibility is on every individual that lives in this country, every individual. The government is not going to take care of us forever. We have to look inside of ourselves. Yes, I'll stop right there, my sister.
But that's a key component. And, you know, Sojourner Truth, she, of course, slavery, abolitionist and everything, and she actually went to Washington, D.C. during the time of, you know, civil unrest and uprising, and she was petitioning President Lincoln to give black people who had been newly emancipated the land out there in the West so that they could learn independence. Because she says slavery is never going to die out. It has to be learned out. And she was so visionary, because we know how crippling it has been these last few generations to have so many families raised on welfare, where the expectation is, if I don't have money, the government should give me a check. You know, they should give me money. I can't survive. I'm poor. And that has crippled generations of us from thinking innovatively. How do I create a business? How do I develop a product? How do I employ people? So that whole mindset has to be redeveloped. And like LA was saying, you had these women just coming up with an idea. Let's just get our own land and start from scratch. Be those innovators. And produce our own food, because that is one of the major parts of being independent, feeding yourself. And that's what we need to think and prepare our children to think about. How are you going to create a different food production system so that there is no poor class? We got to take another break. Thanks so much, LA. We appreciate you so much. If you can stay with us, we might call on you again. And we're going to take a break and come back to area code 314-677. You're next. And then 773-984. And you have a caller on your line?
Yes, ma'am. 779-770. They've been
okay. We'll come back to them after the break as well. So, all right, we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after these brief messages. So stay with us.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
About finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we want to hear from you, 515-605-9325. or 515-605-9891 and press 1 when you have something to say. So, Kareem, we're ready for, I'll take 314-677 and we'll go to your switchboard and take your caller.
Okay.
All right. 314-677, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Yes, Bianchi. But Naima,
yes.
Good morning, you, Green.
Naima, what are you preparing your children
to live? Where are we preparing them to live, you say?
Leadership starts in the home. Leadership starts in your home. And children has to see a leadership structure working in the home, led by their father. Now, of course, there's all kind of alternatives, and if they work to perfection, many of these conversations wouldn't be going on what do we do. Politics, governments don't develop areas. It's people that develop areas. Kareem talked about the land rush. People would rush into those lands in order so they could stake off their claim so that you could develop their claim. That wasn't government. And also, within black communities, and it happens also in others too, but not to the extent, they elect people and sit back and see what happens. Vote for them, elect them, and sit back and see what happens. That's not the way it's supposed to work. If you are vibing for a tangible, you have to tell that person that you are trying to elect what it is that you wanted to have them done. You got examples in St. Louis with that Cori Bush. You elected her, and now you're waiting to see what she do. And one of the things she started talking about, she changed course because the message that she gave to get elected is not feasible once you're there.
Mm.
You want to cut defense spending when one of your largest employers in the St. Louis area is a defense contractor. One of your largest employers, yep, of your smartest and brightest are defense contractors. So what kind of sense does that make? Another point. These states are countries. They conveniently call states. You're not going to have a country within a country. First, the Constitution don't allow that. Then, of course, the Constitution of those countries, Illinois, Missouri, North Dakota, New Mexico, they don't allow that either. The Constitution of a country, Illinois and Missouri, allow for the establishment of villages, towns, and cities. And that's what you have in St. Louis. The village of Elder Park, the village of Hillsdale, the townships, then the cities, St. Louis and Kansas City. And when you come down to, you're still under the auspices of that state legislature. Policing gets their powers from that state legislature. No place else. So, and another thing, your kids have to be educated. They have to be educated in order so they can provide the skills and meet the needs of established businesses and organizations. If your children are not educated, and if you don't have a pool of educated individuals, business is not going to move to that area. They're not going to do it. And if they was, we wouldn't be talking about it now. Then, getting back to the politics again, like I said, you don't just vote for people. And, you know, I heard Kareem talk about Kim Gardner. That woman was used. First black female prosecutor, Kim Gardner, your prosecutor in the city of St. Louis. First thing she do, she get elected, she going to sue the governor. Then she get out there on a limb, and those that got behind her to get her to do that, they abandoned her and left her out there. That's mm-hmm. usually the way it happens. You're going to sue the governor. Because the governor, St. Louis, Missouri is a, what we call, a red state, a conservative state. I love Missouri because it is a conservative state. But these cities are liberal cities, and these ideas don't work. They just don't work. And the school system is terrible. Schools are not. And they can't say it's not. You can't say it's the resources. I built about 8 brand new schools in St. Louis area. The last one was Vashon. Those schools are state of the art. So the product that's coming out of those schools should be a whole lot different than what it is. But then again, you got the people who don't know what to look for out of excellent products, excellent productivity. So you got a dilemma. It's like a dog chasing his tail. Where it is, I don't know. And see, the thing too about St. Louis area, it's bleeding population. Your schools are down to about 19,000. Can you imagine that a major metropolitan area that only got 19,000 in their public schools? And then when you bring in hordes of refugees from other countries, they don't go to St. Louis. They put the refugees, those that advocate for them, in other areas. Like this latest horde of Afghan refugees are moving in the Chesterfield area, one of the richest areas in the United States. Bosnia, 50,000, South St. Louis. They didn't go to North St. Louis. Even when Africans migrate to the area, they don't live in the hood. They move out in the surrounding areas. On the east side, they live out in Belleville, of all places. Come on. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, yeah, you have raised some very significant points about what it really takes to run a government and what our leadership should be doing, and the fact that we tend to put people in office and, like you say, just sit back and say, well, let's see what they're going to do. When, in fact, a leader doesn't do anything without the backing and the direction of the people. I totally agree. And that style of waiting for a leader to change things, you know, that's like that Messiah complex. Somebody's going to come and save us. Nobody's going to save us from us, for us, but us. Great quote from Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, whose son was elected to Congress last night and has basically laid out a visionary plan. But you can't expect, as you said, you can't expect to lead anybody unless you know how to organize them. And they are leading you. They're giving you what their concerns are, and you take your position and implement it based on the structure that exists, unless you, like the people that L.A. was talking about, are going to set up a different structure someplace else. But even then, as you pointed out, you're still part of, you can't go and create your own country. You can create a township that interacts with the country, but if you're in the United States, you got to think, how do we create something that we own and control, but it's also interactive with the rest of the nation?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you build something that's out of line, utilities not going to provide power to that country. You have to buy it as if you're a separate individual. And you know another thing, the move now, because the federal government is completely out of control, you're having states sign on to Article 5 of the United States Constitution that allows them to make a convention, and they're going to reel in that federal government. See, that's another thing. We don't understand how government works. Federal government only has the power that you allow them to have. Federal government has only the powers you, the states, the countries, allow them to have, and there's a move to reel them in like it should be done. And you made mention about poverty and inflation. Inflation, one of the main culprits that provides for inflation is the reckless borrowing of money. And then that debt is pushed down in the further generation. So your great-great-grandchildren is already going to be born with a debt over their head. They're part of the society. It's a portion.
So that means
they're
you have to think of something different. So that means, and that's the key thing, we have to think of how do we create a different financial system, because the one we have is geared toward debt and indebtedness, which creates poverty. Well, we thank you for raising those points, Tiani, as always. We appreciate all that you challenge us to think about. So, Kareem, you've got a caller on your line?
Yes, error code 779-770. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
My name is Hashim. That station that did the number that you gave us, is that 7:30 a.m. or p.m.?
Oh, that's a.m. And I'll put it up on the screen again. Hold on one second. We'll pull it up for those who want to listen in. And I think it's important that we listen in to this show, It's My House. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 9:30 Central Time. And that call-in number is 619-768-2945. I think we need to listen to that show and get some ideas from people who think independently and interdependently, because they have changed their mind and have been able to envision something different. Also, I wanted to share this comment with you from our Facebook family, our sister of the microphone, Zelda Robinson, from our Monday morning host. She says, Grand Rising. Maybe Pianki should consider running for office because of his wisdom. Well, what do you think about it, Pianki? Is a political career in your horizon? Definitely.
He said something that Pianki said something that is key, and it should not be overlooked that a government and leadership begins in the family.
There you go.
That's the first social unit. Until we strengthen our families, then we're not demonstrating or producing the type of leadership that we want. Authority was housed in the our parents, and the father was seen as the number one authority. But in the home, the mother was seen as the person being in charge of that freedom space, So
freedom.
Until we begin to exemplify the type of leaders are, how can I say, they are bred in the family unit. So he's very key on it. He's right on point with it. I'll stop right there.
Yes.
Sir,
go right ahead. Give us your name and where you're calling from so I can pull it up on our screen for our viewers to see.
My name is Hashim Kamal, Rockford, Illinois. Does that come on stage? Come on every day, that number? Does it come on every day?
Yeah, it comes on every day, yes.
What was that gentleman's name that was talking about structure of the government?
That was Pianki from St. Louis. Yes, and where are you from, sir?
Rockford, Illinois.
Pianki. I believe that's how I'm spelling it here on the screen. I think that's the spelling he gave me, Pianki. He's a longtime listener and contributor, and I think I met him when I was doing a radio show in St. Louis. So, you know, he's been a commentator on social issues and issues of finance and government and business for a long time, and has definitely been advocating for a more independent thought of people who are, you know, stuck in a victim mentality.
Do we have a telephone?
And give me your name again, would you? I'm sorry, what was that again?
Hashim. Kamau.
Okay, and Hashim, where are you from?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockford.
Does Pianki have a telephone number?
Well, I tell you what I can do. I can give it to Kareem, who can give it to you because he can see your number, and we can connect you to him. And
I see. Write
and
it
that
down
was
now. Now.
And we can certainly make that connection. I think that there are a lot of things that he said that we have to consider, like you were saying, Kareem. The first foundation that we have to set is the family. And the reason why we're in these states of poverty and powerlessness is because our families fell apart. And I'm sure the people that organized the townships that LA is talking about had families and organized according to families. So when you have a unit that is organized, such as a family, then you can do collective economic projects such as buying property and developing homes. And even, and I think Pianki was talking about the homesteaders, families would get together and help build homes. Matter of fact, the Amish still do it that way. You know, you help each other. I help you build your house. You help me build my house. And that's how it's done, you know. So now we got this bank financing thing where you end up in debt. Whereas before, we were organizing our families to help each other, and we would build each other's homes, and that's how it got done. So you're right. First thing is the family. So, Brother Hashan, did you have another comment you wanted to make?
No, I'll contact Brother Imam Kareem, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you.
If Kianci does not mind that we share his phone number, you know, I think we need to ask him if it's all right, you know.
Yes, sir.
We can always give him the brother's phone number if he doesn't mind as well, you know, and Pianki can call him. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me take another caller on our switchboard, and we have, let me see here. Hi, 773-984, I believe you are next, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments regarding how we prepare our children for leadership.
Salaam alaikum, this is Rashida.
Hey, Rashida, how are you?
Oh, alhamdulillah, I'm good. I think we prepare our children for leadership by first acknowledging God in the home, and for those who believe in God, or letting them know there's a higher force in themselves. Because I found out something being a defense contractor myself and networking with my people, they don't have, most of our people, when it comes to thinking outside of the box, in my opinion and from my experience, is that we have narcissistic, selfish kind of behavior. And when it comes to government, I don't care how much land that we acquisition, we still have to go according to the Federal Acquisition Regulation, which is the laws for contracting. Even if we have 1,000 acres of land and we want to build school, we still have to go according to the laws of the land, which is governed by the Federal Acquisition Regulation. I was the only plan holder in Region 5. I held the plans to all of the federal buildings in Region 5,
wow,
including Missouri. And I found out from experience that our people were the ones that I was networking with, and they didn't have respect for the laws. They wanted their way. They said, "You're not a contractor, but I'm holding the blueprints to the federal buildings. Who am I if I'm not a contractor?" So there was a bunch of controversy And as a result, I became a victim, victimized by my own people. My fiance got killed, and all my blueprints were stolen, so I didn't earn a dime. Although I created Work Fire, they're teaching the trade that I created and the city colleges. I met the young guy who got his first associate in the trade that I created. But it had to be included in the Davis Beacon Act, which is the laws for wage scale that's governed by the Federal Acquisition Regulation. So if we acquire 1 million acres of land, it has to be regulated what we build on that land, even though we acquisition the land. So our people have to start giving respect to and knowing the laws of whatever we do, because they were created before we even exist. And our children have to learn, the laws, there's laws for everything that we do. There's laws, there's rules. God has laws, there's rules. So we have to respect that in order to achieve, in my opinion, in order to achieve anything. We can't just come up and say, oh, we want to create this. There's the politician that you can put pressure on that can help you, in your innovation toward doing whatever you do. But there's a law that he has to go by, because several politicians went to penitentiary because they didn't follow the Federal Acquisition Regulation during the time I was a plan holder. So we have to know before we can teach, even in our home. There's people don't know. So those who are in leadership positions have to be willing to teach, but then a lot of people don't have the will to know. So there's a lot of things that make us have disabilities, and that's why they had to set aside for contractors. We didn't have the ability or the will to gain the ability to know, and we had the right to know. There's even a federal law that says the right to know, but it's our people that's miseducated and been miseducated, in my opinion. Because that was a pain for me to carry and hold the blueprints to the new post office downtown and read the specifications and sign the amendments for the new post office and the old post office and the 219 South Dearborn and the John Dino building and Detroit, all of those, the whole region. I didn't get it done because I wanted to network with my people. And that was the result of it. The killing of my fiance, where I had the blueprints and the blueprints taken. And not only that, the specification amendments, but fortunately, something good came out of it. My grandson, who was killed, he became a federal contractor at 20. Well,
that's good.
18.
I mean, it's good that
that
he became a contractor.
Yeah, it was good he became a contractor, but he got killed. It's craziness.
Wow.
For no reason. That's the way it is. So I just came along and shot him. He was 26 then, making almost $200,000 a year from his unsweat equity. But our people are more detrimental to each other than anything, and I don't know why. I don't know whether it's clocked in the DNA. It just makes me withdraw, although I'm still now the people that look like me. But it's sad that we're so badly miseducated. Now, we can't overthrow government. If we get land, we have to go according to the regulations for acquisitions and development. That's all it is. And fortunately, we can team up and get land. But we can't just get land and build anymore. We're going to build a hospital here. We're going to build a school on our own. It's regulated. It was regulated before we came.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, there are standards that we all agree on. Standards of safety. There are regulations that we all agree on. But as a religious body of people, we have the right
of freedom of religion. We have the right to establish our own educational system, our own schools, and also adhering to the known standards. Let me say this. You know, you mentioned earlier alluding to people that are not conscious of God. You know, as religious, I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
Well, thank you, Rashida. Let me close the mic. And I appreciate Rashida's comments about that as well. Go ahead, Kareem, before we take a break. Go ahead.
Yes, there are some simple things that we can do that I believe will have a beneficial effect on the overall society. There is if we return back to some basic practices that the religious people used to practice, the religious order that are identified as Jews, they have a call to prayer that is blown through a ram's horn. And in their community, that ram's horn is blown at specific times of the day. That strikes the consciousness of those people. With Christians, the Christians utilize the bell. I remember as a young boy, we would hear a bell toll throughout the different times of a day. And no matter what we were doing, we recognized that. And I'm quite sure it had a positive effect. As Muslims, we are given the adhan to call five times a day publicly. A loudspeaker can be attached to your masjid, and the adhan broadcast. Beautiful, beautiful recitation that is beautiful, and it touches the heart. If we as religious people would return back to those basic principles, utilization of the ram's horn, utilization of the ringing of a bell that could be heard throughout the whole community, and a Muslim call to prayer. Those are basic foundations. I believe that the overall society would benefit if we return back to those basics. What do you think about that, Mike?
Well, I think those basics remind people that they are part of a collective. They're part of a community. It reminds them of the unity consciousness. We are a group, and we are adhering to higher principles of interaction that are given to us by our Creator to be kind, generous, compassionate toward one another, helpful toward one another. So these times where we gather for prayer and remembrance of a higher power that we are expressing, it reminds us that we're not to be selfish. We're not to be greedy and self-seeking. We're not to be dishonest, because we're gathering as one unit with these higher principles. I agree. And as Rashida was saying about people who get involved in things and maybe they're unscrupulous or greedy or thieving, it's because they see themselves as individuals and they're thinking selfishly. So when you have a collective practice that reminds people, you are part of a whole, you're part of a group, you're part of a body, and we stand for something higher, and we're expressing that higher consciousness, that higher thought, then I agree. That does set a standard for why we're doing what we're doing. It's not for selfish gain. It's for the greater collective. And that's what's expressed when you have what we've called God consciousness. We are expressions of that higher consciousness in everything we do. So that has to reflect in our values and our ethics and our behavior. I agree. We got to take one last break, and we'll be right back and take some more of your calls. We've got a couple more callers on our switchboard. We're going to take you in this order, so don't go away. 706-202 and 773-450. Hold on. We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away.
Our kids are the future.
Hold it. And we'll be right back. Stay with us. And in the meantime, while we set that up, let us go to our next promo, which is, here we are, and let's remind us of what happens every Monday morning.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson. And I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara. I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and
unmuted.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family on this Wednesday morning. And got a couple of comments from our Facebook family. Zelda Robinson says, yes, understanding is crucial. This system has been crumbling for years. We're just seeing it happening now. And she is correct. We are certainly seeing systems break down, which means this is our opportunity to create something better. And Claudette Hernandez says, beautiful topics. Yes, thank you, Claudette. Thank you to you who have added your statements to this conversation. And I believe we are back with our American Muslim 360 family and ready to take another caller. Area code 706-202. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your wisdom today.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Naima, Brother Kareem, and to the 360 family. This is Brother Kwame Sunhorse here on stolen land of the Muskogee Creek in Edenton, Georgia. Very important topics. The destruction of a nation begins in the home. And what you were asking about the part of children, it's how a child is conceived. These are the tools of how a child is conceived. The destruction of a nation begins in the home. What is taught in the home for those children that will grow into adults to conceive and to make another nation? That's what the father is there for. Man stands for to make another nation, and woman is the womb to make another nation. What we're looking at is land that was... We're looking at lands that were stolen by the doctrine of discovery. And the thing of what we're seeing is, and we're talking about Missouri. Missouri was part of the Louisiana Purchase. From Louisiana to Minnesota. From Louisiana to Minnesota was land that was belonged to the French. And if you go back and why was the French selling that land, is because the people of Haiti had took their freedom back by taking the land that they were brought to. So what we're seeing is how these avenues of control have been put in place. What we are looking at is that everything we need is within us, and how that we conceive and bring forth that which is in each of us. We all come onto this planet. This planet is the basis of all economics, because land is the first thing that you have to create any economics. And being able to understand that we are stewards of this land, we will never own God's planet. And so what we have to be able to do is, how do we steward? How do we become one with the community of the forest and the mountains and the rivers and oceans? We have to know that we were given this. Part of it is the union of man and woman to be able to delegate what is to be done in the forest or the community. When you create an urban area, you take over. Urban means to take over 1,000 people and put them in a square mile radius. The Land Act of 1862, I believe it was, that they gave 270 million acres, that was part of the Louisiana Purchase, to those people west of the Mississippi. What we're seeing now is a country that was stolen from people that were already here. And what we're looking at is, how do we attempt to do the same thing, or do we do as we were here once before the invaders came in? How do we take and be the stewards that we once were again? We're looking to someone who doesn't look like us, that took what didn't belong to them, to give us the guidance to do what we were doing before they even came out of the cave. So we have to look at our story and stop believing in their story. And
I agree. And, you know, as people were talking about the land situation, that was kind of in the back of my mind. Those who were headed west, those who were granted land, yeah, you know, you're being given somebody else's property. And I think I think it was Kareem that said, you know, that the indigenous people were subdued, which meant, you know, killed, and moved off the land and put in reservations. And so now we're the government. We're going to give you land. Well, it wasn't yours to give, but you kind of, you know, bogarted and made it yours. And there's so many wounds from that reality. So before I take the next caller, let me ask this question. Is there a way to make it right when we, because we do need, if we're going to grow food and be independent, we do need to acquire the land. Is there a way to create a different kind of structure so that we are, as you said, Kwame, benefiting from where we settle, where we're developing, where we're feeding people, we're restoring the health of the earth and all the things, as you said, we did before the colonization and before the invasion? We were more like stewards and developers of the land in a healthy way. Can we do that? And can we benefit the indigenous people when we do that?
Yes, because we did it once after our what so-called transfer of ownership, emancipation. We built towns and cities that look like us, and what we were able to do is to construct what we had done in building this country for them. And so what we saw was is that any attempt to become equal in being able to provide for yourself, educate yourself, give your belief system for yourself will be challenged and attacked by those who do not want to give up power. Power is the ability to define someone's reality and to make them to believe that which is not your own. Your power to be free was given to you at birth.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Kareem. And thank you, Baba Kwame. We appreciate that perspective to remind us. Go ahead, Kareem.
Yes. You know, when we look at the overall picture, when we step back and look at what took place with the land rush and the Homestead Act, people went out there, they staked their claim, they built houses, sometimes just out of dirt, sod houses, and they established farms. Well, look at the condition now. Who owns those farms now?
Mm.
The farmer. Yes, a farmer has been practically driven out of business. He's been denied bank loans. He was paid not to plant and produce certain crops.
Yes.
That was price fixing, and it was hard for farmers to even get a loan to plant for the next season. Come to find out, the farm became heavily leveraged to the bankers, and there's very few independent farms now. The corporations have took over. All right, yep, good. You did a good job. All right, but now we shall take over. We have huge corporations like Archer Daniels Midland, General Mills, huge conglomerates that now control the land and control what is produced on those lands. The independent farmer, he was used. He was used, and he's shunted off to the aside now. So the enemy, he's not just looking at color. He's looking at greed. Accumulation of wealth. He does not care what color you are or what class you come from. Who owns the land now? Who is producing our food now? It is huge multinational corporations. So I'll stop right there. I pray that we look at that from a panoramic view.
I agree. Well, this is why we have to create a different mind in the young people who are in the pathway to leadership, and we have to create a different mind in the children that we're raising, because we cannot try to conform to what they're doing. Their way is anti-life. And if we're going to be pro-life, then that means that means we're farming for the purpose of feeding, and we're feeding and nourishing people and keeping them healthy, and not for the purpose of making a profit, which means the systems that we create have to be cooperative and not beholden to a banking system that is greed-driven. And as you said, there are times that farmers are paid not to farm so that the prices for food can be at a certain level. Well, that's anti-life. So the thinking, the training, the raising of our children has to be for them to look at the system and see where it's wrong, and not try to fit into a wrong system. Well, how can I get my credit score up so I can get a bank loan so I can get it? No, we're not about that. We have to think of a different system so that we can organize and cooperate and create. Because that system is anti-life, and it's going to produce exactly what it's producing. So that means our children have to think differently. They can't see themselves as behind or beholden or subjected to someone else, like Baba Kwame said. I mean, we are born free. We are all free spirits inhabiting these bodies. No one, you can't own a soul, and you can't own the earth. You can't own anything. You can share what has been given by the creative energy of the universe. You can share it, and you can cooperate to enhance it. And that's the kind of mindset we want our children to have, so that every system that is now crumbling will go ahead and crumble. We can't uphold it with the thought that that's what we have to conform to and fit into, because it's not working. And it can't work because it's meant to control and not transform or enhance. So we have, I think we got another caller here. Let me go to area code 773-450 Grand Rising, and thank you for joining us on the Female Solution. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Grand Rising, assalamu alaikum to you and the brother.
Wa alaikum. Yes.
It's a wonderful program with a lot of different ideas. Wonderful program with a lot of different ideas to help us be better. You know, the only thing is that we miss is unity. If you just take 100 black men and 100 black women and they just put up $100 a week together, in a year's time, they have $1 million. Not so much the $1 million that that group can gather, but just the fact that they got 200 talents and gifts that they can combine. They can create their own nation right where they are, just with 200 people. The only thing missing is unity. In fact, the home would be the original place you should get a lot of information, but if the home has information that's miscommunicated, then sometimes you have to break away from your family to get a higher consciousness. We need to create new home ideas with people that have consciousness so that we can do something bigger. And lastly, just so people will know for history's sake, when black folks got disenfranchised and pushed off the plantation and they told them slavery was over and left with absolutely nothing to help themselves, that's when we was creating towns like Rosewood and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all these other things that we created. But if you look at the history, the government will always come along and kill somebody if it's somebody that's helping the group, or either kill out the people. Who took away Tulsa if it wasn't the government that did it? So what I would say at the end of the day is that we need to be more strategic, need to be more conscious, we need to be more, for lack of a better word, more secretive about what we're doing when we rise in consciousness. We don't have to let anybody know what we're doing. But if you got 200 people that just unify and they creating $1 million amongst themselves just on the side every 12 months, they themselves, we could follow that model, we could create all types of things around this country without the government's help or anybody else's help but ourselves. We need unity, We need true riches, which is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let's unify. Hallelujah.
So Obadiah, before we go, let me ask you this question. Can you think of 10 families, just 10, can you think of 10 families that think like you think and you all trust each other enough to set up a bank account with a credit union account or whatever it is that you would put in that $100 a month for the purpose of purchasing land the way these women did that LA is going to have on his show? Can you think of 10 families that have the same mindset that you have, that you all trust each other enough to begin the process by pooling the money that you have? Just 10. Can you think of 10?
Yes, I can. But you know what the problem was always, Naima, was a lack of trust. I've created that model in a small way, just with a handful of people on the job just telling them stuff, and they bought a whole building with just a group of people. You see, but we think in
deep. So that's all it takes.
So what I'm saying, Naima, it takes a consciousness to think about we, us, and our. In other words, let's buy a huge compound. But it was a lack of trust. When the people said we gathered up the money, who were they going to trust to hold it? So I would even challenge this program. I'm willing to put up $100 a week, as anybody else is too, and put it together just to see what we can build. I know you can get at least 100 people on this show, within the show, to donate that, and we'll have our own $1 million pool and not just talk about what we can do, but begin to use the advice.
Well, we'll definitely make that happen.
Yeah, brilliant people
Bianca,
brilliant minds that we have, and people like Bianca and that. Imagine what we all could do with just $1 million in just 1 year, what we could create just from this seed. So I'm just saying that because at the end of the day, the government and all that stuff is in control and all of that. You got a governor that just got put back in office that believes it's okay to have programs to teach boys how to be girls. I don't understand none of that.
Well, Obadiah,
they
want to
vote them back
that
in,
governor and everybody else,
doing that.
Nobody is keeping us from doing what you just said. No matter what their philosophy is, nobody's controlling us from doing the program you just said, put our money together and buy the land. And so if we decide to do that, we have the power to do it. We got to go, but I want to thank you for that. All right. Well, look for it, because our pandemic farms, producing agricultural nourishment, developing economies, making independent communities, that's our goal. So look for it, because we're scoping now land to be purchased to develop farming in urban and rural areas, collectively owned, and we're looking for people like you who are ready to make that move. So, last words before we go, Brother Kareem. I think we are about to go. So, we thank you all for joining us, and join us tomorrow.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia,
Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Madasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
See you tomorrow.